The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. A leper came to Jesus and pleaded on his knees. "If you want to," he said, "you can cure me." Feeling sorry for him, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. "Of course I want to," he said, "be cured." And the leprosy left him at once, and he was cured. Jesus immediately sent him away and sternly ordered him, "Mind you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and make your offering for the healing prescribed by Moses as evidence of your recovery." The man went away, but then started talking all about it freely and telling the story everywhere, so that Jesus could no longer go openly into any town, but had to stay outside in places where nobody lived. Even so, people from all around would come to him. The Gospel of the Lord. It's quite ironic, in a way, that an ex-leper, a man once condemned to live apart from society, becomes the very reason that happens to Jesus. Jesus had, it says, to stay in places where nobody lived. Jesus took away the condemnation of the leprous man and restored him to his family and to his town and his life. But the man, by not listening to Jesus, condemned his healer to absent himself from the towns. It's a strange change, ironic as it were, that change of situation for the leprous man and for Jesus. But in a way, it can be a hint of what is to come, something we celebrate as, of course, we walk through Lent. Because St. Mark portrays Jesus as shunning publicity, and he shows that Jesus is the one who took the condemnation, as it were, on himself. And it's what is called in Mark's Gospel, that shunning publicity, the messianic secret. Jesus doesn't want anyone to know really who he is, certainly not as a miracle worker. And that's why he says, puzzlingly in a way, "Tell no one about all of this except the priest, whom you have to go see to get your clean bill of health required by law." Why does he do that? Because, of course, at the resurrection, he says, "Go and tell." But why? Well, much has been written about it, but it could well be that Mark wants to move the readers away from seeing this miracle worker, who's the sort of answer to all your problems, to the one who offers his life for all of us. People often, not people, theologians, scholars, often say that Mark's gospel is like a passion narrative with a sort of bit of an introduction to it. And the introduction to it is the stories we're getting now. But the passion narrative in Mark is very long, whereas the rest of it, as you know, I've said before, moves very quickly. So it says at once he was healed. Jesus immediately sent him away. It's all this sort of moving on quickly, because the crux of what is leading you up to in this story is who Jesus is. And ultimately, who he is the Son of God who offers his life for us. And so that centrality of the cross is what Mark is getting you to try and see, his readers to grasp what all that's about. So it's to move you away from the adulation of a miracle worker. But a miracle worker, of course, would draw crowds. You only know yourself if something is advertised nowadays on the internet and loads of people want to go, the thing crashes because so many people are wanting to go. In Jesus' day, it was word of mouth, but nevertheless, what you get from other Gospels and we got from this one is, wherever Jesus was, the people were coming to him. Remember last week, and when it was evening on the Sabbath, crowds came to him for healing and for devils to be cast out. You remember the man brought by his four friends on his bed, and they couldn't get in because of the crowd. They took the roof off, lower him to his feet. So there's a sense in which if there's a miracle worker, then the crowds will come. And Mark is trying to say, but that's not the reason Jesus came. That's why he said, don't tell anyone about it. But Mark's insight is actually important for us in an impatient age, which has no time or understanding of the cross. Because the cross, as we all know, is difficult. And that's why it's central always to our faith. But in an age that's bred on speedy painkillers, on instant everything, including the 15 minutes of fame and the selfies and all that sort of thing, and a technology that puts the world at our fingertips, then it puts too much in front of us and we can't cope with the difficult bits. And that's what this really is. So it's an age in which religious charlatans try to sell you healthy living and inner peace while neglecting really the truth of the faith. And when a la carte Christians select what they like from religious menu but reject what we don't fancy. So they'll happily use God to their own advantage but rebel if we feel God is asking anything of us. And so that miracle worker can seem to reduce God to the almighty aspirin. And that's the sort of situation Jesus wanted you to avoid and which Mark is at pains to avoid. We're looking at Jesus. And it's the Jesus who, of course, I want to, in compassion for us, but is nevertheless walking that way, which we shall begin during this coming week, that way of Lent, walking the way of not self-fulfillment and selfishness, but selflessness, and letting whatever gets in the way fall apart so that we can reach for what is better. Because what is better is what Jesus is offering us. That is salvation. Not just healing from that restored, but a much deeper and greater and stronger healing. It's salvation. But the man in the story thought he knew better than Jesus. And maybe this introduction Sunday, as it were, almost to Lent, is saying that you've got to listen to what I'm saying. One of the things that we can seek always to do in Lent is to listen to the Word of God. Follow the Scriptures day by day more clearly. Try to hear what the Lord is saying to us. And then walk that way with him. On Wednesday, we mark our heads with the ash used from last year's palm crosses to mark us as saying, we are the ones that we're seeking to follow you, Lord, in this way. Year by year, we're invited along that way. And it seems sometimes that fewer and fewer seem to walk along with us. But the invitation's there. If we're listening to what the Lord says, he says, come, follow me. Your will, Lord, be not mine, be done.